Blog Talk Radio.
Hola, ¿cómo estás? It's Friday afternoon, and I am increasing my show sponsorship this week. I'm putting out more shows because it is an election season, and I feel like I have expertise in that area, and I can also support the candidates. Now, I did put a call in to Wilhelmina Wright, who is the deservedly candidate for solicitation and her progress and her experience on the Supreme Court. I would like to talk to a little bit about her background. I have an article this week in the Duluth Reader in the election section. I have three articles covering the state Supreme Court race, the Secretary of State, and I observed a speech with Al Franken. I declined to interview him because I didn't want to stress him out. You know, he was just up in Duluth a few hours, and I felt like his speech was adequate. So that article is also in the DuluthReader.com. Now, on Right for Justice, who does have a website, unlike her proponent, it says, support the election of Minnesota Supreme Court Justice Wilhelmina Wright. Justice Wright is a woman of integrity and principle. She believes in the critical importance of having impartial judges who follow the rule of law while treating all who come before the courts with fairness and equal justice. So on her homepage, she does have a little bit about her biography I read last night. She's from Norfolk, Virginia, which is a city that I lived in 3 years, and the division of black and whites back in the mid-80s when I was a public housing manager in Portsmouth was quite astute. I would say in Portsmouth alone, about 30 to 50% of the African-American population did live in public housing, and many had not emancipated out of the ghetto. However, Portsmouth had kind of a rural touch to it, so it wasn't like an urban ghetto. It was more of just a notable separation. I did write a novel about it called Chronicles from a Southern City, and it's available to you by personal order at EnglishCrush@yahoo.com. Now, I know the struggles that Wilhelmina Wright had to face, but her mother was a strong role model in her life, and her mother fought for a just educational system and made it clear to her children that the court system had to be active in the role of children, because Wilhelmina Wright is a little bit older than me, and she started attending school around the time of the Brown versus the Board of Education, where schools were integrated. So, you know, she's aware of the... In the South, it is much more noticeable. Up here, it's not. There's more of a silent racial overtone in schools. But throughout Wilhelmina's 13-year tenure on three Minnesota courts at different levels, Justice Rice has been committed to working on behalf of Minnesotans. Now, she had quite a bit of background even before Dayton, postulated her onto the Supreme Court. She was an undergrad at Yale and a graduate at Harvard Law. She probably knew Barack Obama, but I had a hunch that she graduated about 5 to 10 years before him. She also worked on a couple of lower Minnesota courts, and Jesse Ventura had appointed her from 2002 to 2012. I can't find the court right now, but let's see here. Well, she began her career as a law clerk for the Honorable Damon J. Keith of the U.S. States Court of Appeals for the Sixth Circuit. So that's really high-level court stuff. That's right below the Supreme Court. There's about 8 to 10 regions in the country of the Circuit Court of Appeals. She also represented school districts throughout the U.S. to help them achieve their goal of providing high-quality educational opportunities. And she served as the assistant U.S. attorney for the District of Minnesota. I wonder if she had anything to do with the implementation of No Child Left Behind. As a federal prosecutor, she worked tirelessly on behalf of victims of violent crime and complex fraud and received the U.S. Department of Justice Director's Award and the U.S. Department of Justice Special Achievement Award. The experience that she's gained from each of these challenging positions has prepared her to decide complex legal issues. I mean, she's really qualified. She's been in the, you know, she's been a public servant since, I believe it was well before 2002. So, you know, she's been in the public service spectrum for well, approximately 15 years. Now, I am not trying to blackball the other candidate, Mr. Hancock. However, I am disappointed that he did not call into my radio show Wednesday. And I want to make an announcement that as a result, there were I had done that show on Wednesday and there were 12 or 13 hits. Then there were 11 more. I had done that show before I called him and I wanted to set up another show. So there were 11 hits just on the show that I only benignly mentioned him. And he was not the central focus of that particular show. I talked about other things with my co-host, like movie deals in Los Angeles, the music industry, and other things. But strangely enough, after I made that phone call, I had 12 more hits. So I don't know if he's following to suit, and he's just worried about what the public's saying about him privately, but not making a stance for himself. So, John Hancock, if you could call into the show at 323-642-1691, we would appreciate you to be on the show, and I will try emailing you over the weekend. People want to know where you stand, and unfortunately, you know, I am a columnist at a local paper, and I would have liked to say more about you, but there's not really a lot of information. The only information out there is what kind of law you used to practice and that you're high up on the food chain in the DHS. Now, maybe that's a conflict of interest since you work for an agency that has to track terrorists and, United States enemies. I don't know if that goes hand in hand with being a public service of equal justice for all. For example, how would you feel about a mosque being built in Minneapolis right next to maybe a Pentecostal church or a non-tolerant congregation of another kind? Europe's had to deal with a lot of those types of problems since the Muslim invasion. And I used to live in Los Angeles where people, I knew I was close friends with a Muslim from Bangladesh. I knew one from Pakistan. I dated one from Tajikistan. I wasn't like this free-loving hippie type. It just happened, you know, the chips fell where they may. I also went to a Cal State Northridge political science graduate program where there was another Muslim from Yemen, and she actually gave a speech one time in class on Palestinian rights and how Israel was suppressing them. And, you know, I got a wide-eyed view of the world. I had a friend named Armin that, Ahmad, and he was from Iran, and his uncle was delivered to the United States in a body bag because the Iranian government killed him. So, you know, I saw both the good and bad of, I wouldn't call it terrorism. I guess I would just call it the way countries treated each other in the Middle East. So I wanted to put a pitch forth in this show because, things are revving up here around Duluth. I would say that Duluth has a stronger interest in local politics than other Minnesota cities. It's rather bohemian. It's very engaged. They have 6 to 8 weekly newspapers around here. So even if you ignore one aspect of a paper, you're going to enjoy another aspect. I know that the Zenith had a third-party candidate on their paper this week, and that was pretty cool because a lot of those people have either been blocked out of debates or haven't been able to participate. I was gonna try to pop that one in. Let's see if I can find it. Skip Sandman's bid for the 8th district. So nobody's heard about Skip Sandman, and I did not have to write about that race for the reader. He is Native American, and he has a cool ponytail, and you can read about it at the zenithcitynews.com. There is a lot of good local coverage of politics up here. It was surprising that the Duluth News Tribune went with Stuart Mills over Rick Nolan for the 8th district. I guess they either think that Rick Nolan's victory a couple years ago was a fluke, when 'cause remember Chip Kravach won in 2010 and trumped Oberstar's, I believe it was a 31-year tenure in the Congress, and then Rick Nolan took it out from under Chip Kravach. So there has been some upheaval here in the Northland. There's also a lot of hot contested debates about mining and fracking and polymet and how it would affect the environment. My friend Steve, who has an expert, he has an aquatic biology degree, said that the way the well system's set up in Minnesota between Duluth and Sandstone is it's a gradual downhill. So if fracking or any of those polymet type industries were to take place, over a period of 20 years, they would contaminate the water, and then all the water running down from Duluth through its tributaries and Lake Superior would contaminate well water as far as Sandstone and Hinckley. So that's why aware environmentalists in Minnesota are fighting so hard against it, because they don't want that to happen. Now, I don't know if I can jump into this website adequately. Let's see if we can do it. Nope. They don't have the type of layout on there. The Reader has a better layout than the Zenith, but the Zenith is a good newspaper, and they also pay their contributors. Okay, I was able to do it. So I'm waiting for a few calls. I will cover Wilhelmina Wright's and John Hancock's race again on Saturday, Sunday, or Monday, depending on when they can call in. And time will tell. So Jennifer Martin Rome, I believe she's the co-editor of the Zenith. She wrote a feature article about Skip Sandman. If most DFL-leaning voters were honest with themselves, Skip Sandman's platform is probably more in line with their values than any Democrat in Congress since Wellstone. Anti-war, check. Environmental sustainability, check. Corporations are not people, check. Sensible gun laws, check. A woman's right to choose, check. Pro-union, a living wage, and affordable health care, check, check, check. Now, I want to throw something in about the 8th District. That Stuart Mills creature, who looks like a John Denver parallel, is a gun-toting Ted Nugent excessive person. Nobody wants a gun-toting idiot in this day and age, when look what happened at Sandy Hook. That's not the main issue, just like abortion isn't anymore. But yet you still see people holding signs about abortion and putting false images up. And I've also seen pro-abortion and anti-abortion people. Get with it, people. The new issues are mining. Corporations are not people, and anti-war. Now, I'm not necessarily anti-war when it comes to ISIS, because I believe that that type of creepy agitation of religious intensity needs to stop. I mean, there's already enough suffering in the Middle East with Syrian refugees everywhere. They don't need people killing their own within their own religion. Now I'm just gonna read this article because it's an afternoon and I'm chilling, and I just want my audience to get a taste of what's going up here in the Northland. Known primarily for his staunch opposition to copper nickel mining, the Green Party candidate's views are more nuanced, single issue, and more cohesive, with some surprisingly conservative twists. Ray Skip Sandman, a 60-year-old Vietnam veteran and retired corrections officer, a husband, father of five, and grandfather of 15, decided to seek elected office after he had a dream in which children of all races were playing together in the Lester River. This is Native American folklore, sort of. The dream led him to a failed bid for the Duluth City Council in 2013, where he had hoped to pass a water protection ordinance. That fall, 8th District Rick Nolan voted for the National Strategic and Critical Minerals Production Act, a 180-degree reversal on his campaign promise not to vote for mining until it can be done safely. Sandman took his dream-inspired zeal for protecting the water and filed to run for the 8th District himself. In 12 days, he gathered the 1,500 signatures needed to get his name on the ballot. With the Green Party's endorsement and virtually no money, he cobbled together an ardent and an increasing audience. His portion of likely voters has risen from about 2% to about 7% in various polls since he joined the ballot in June. Pegged as a spoiler for the DFL, Sandman rejects the idea that he'll lure away Nolan voters, handing a win to Republican challenger Stuart Mills. They will say that anyhow, I don't care what they say. Rather than getting caught up in all that, there's some real issues here. I'm in it for the water, and I'm in it for your great-grandchildren. If someone doesn't stick up for them, who will? Uncompromising opposition to mining is Sandman's signature issue, but specifically, he opposes only copper-nickel mining and only until independent, peer-reviewed science determines that pollution mitigation and containment technology is adequate to protect the water from sulfate and heavy metal runoff without requiring indefinite maintenance. Even PolyMet scientists are saying a minimum of 500 years before the water is usable. Boy, that's a mess. Other scientists say 4,800 years. The mine will come and go, but we're left to deal with it and when it does leak. No matter how much money they put into it, it will not be enough. What price do you put on water? Instead, Sandman proposes capitalizing on federal mandates to reduce carbon emissions by investing in northern Minnesota's industries to serve the built-in customer base created by the cost of compliance. By 2013, President Obama wants 30% carbon emissions done with coal-fired plants. Where is that cost going to go as they speak to upgrade? It goes to the consumer in the form of higher electricity and energy bills. There is a company in Germany that produces a product called Archimedes. It's a rooftop wind generator. In a three-bedroom house, it will provide 80% of the household electrical needs. Why not have a company in northern Minnesota that produces that? Why can't union members install them and do the technical assistance? Those are jobs that can't be outsourced, but in the long range, it will be building energy sustainability. We should also start looking into that with solar power. Sandman supports the Northern Lights Express train between Duluth and Minneapolis, but he would like to extend it to the Iron Range with an eye of a nationwide high-speed rail system. By the way, everybody, that's a federally funded program for each state. It's a mode of transportation that will kick in time. As you look into the future, fossil fuels will begin to diminish and the price will go up. It's better to be proactive than reactive. Plus, it brings jobs into the 8th District that are going to last without endangering the environment. From there, Sandman often diverges in whole or part from typical left-leaning politics, describing himself as pro-military, pro-gun, and with serious misgivings about both Obamacare and single-payer health insurance. First and foremost, I'm not for war. I've been to war. I've seen the damage it does to our young men. But I also believe, like what's going on in Syria right now and the ISIS group, something needs to be done to stop this stuff. What we need is to build a strong coalition that puts their people on the ground. I believe in the military. We need a strong military, but we don't need to be the world's policemen. I guess what he's talking about is training people over there, but in Iraq and on Afghanistan, that type of training has not suppressed extreme groups. He advocates diverting intelligent resources from spying on U.S. citizens to targeting the threat of loose nukes and guerrilla attacks. Concerned about the higher debt to China, he would revitalize U.S. exports, particularly in sustainable energy and medicine, which are U.S. specialties, by the way. China is one of the reasons he opposes mining, believing that most of the precious metals will eventually be sold to feed off the growing economy of our totalitarian trade partner. Now, by the way, China doesn't have very many environmental restrictions at all in their home country. They're very lackadaisical. Sandman is a supporter of the Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms. But first of all, I'm a veteran and a gun owner, he said, because first of all. That said, he believes in universal background checks and tighter restrictions in licensing people with criminal histories or untreated mental illnesses. The NRA might get mad at me, but it only stands to reason that if we have a good, strong background check, that may stop some of the stuff that's happening with school shootings. His bottom line, okay, so I'm not going to cover the Affordable Care Act. You can read the rest about it at zenacitynews.com, feature article. So I have covered the gist of, I didn't cover details about Nolan or Mills' campaign. Nolan served in Congress in the late 70s to early 80s, and now he's back. And this would be his second term that he would be elected for. Wilhelmina Wright is the designated choice at this time for Supreme Court because John Hancock has not taken an active interest in his own campaign. And there's only two conclusions that could be drawn from that, that he doesn't think that she's a contender or he doesn't think he has to fight to win, which eludes arrogance. So with that, I'm going to end this 20-minute show, and I hope you got the gist of some northern Minnesota politics, and I'll see you tomorrow when I interview one of the candidates.